Hello and welcome everybody to the Logistics Tribe podcast. I'm Boris Felgendreher, founder of the Logistics Tribe, and I'm extremely excited and honored to be able to present to you an episode that is hosted by Dana von der Heide, my co-host here at the Logistics Tribe. Her guest today is Jeppe Heuer. Jeppe is partner at Maersk Growth, the VC arm of Maersk, the big, famous global logistics giant. They're investing heavily in the logistics tech startup scene, so having Jeppe come onto the show today and open up the kimono on Maersk's investment activities in this area is a real treat. So without further ado, here comes Dana's interview with Jeppe Heuer.
Welcome today. We have Jeppe Heuer as our guest today. Very excited to have you. Most of you will probably know him. He's known from the venture capital scene, not just in Denmark, but really all around Europe. He's representing Maersk, and I think he did a lot of interesting deals that we hopefully hear a little bit more about today. Welcome, Jeppe.
Thank you so much, Dana. It's a pleasure to be here.
Pleasure having you, really. I think there's barely anyone that can talk so well and knowledgeable about the startup scene going on here in Europe. And we hope, of course, to hear a lot about that from you. But I think maybe to kick things off, if you don't mind, give us a quick introduction about yourself and the role at Maersk.
Thank you so much. So I've luckily been in venture for many years. I started with Hardcore Capital in Copenhagen back in 2007 as their CFO, managed their funds up until 2016, and has been raised in the B2C industry that Hardcore is investing in now. Then in 2016, I decided to set sail because I wanted to become even closer to the investment and want to push that forward. So was part of raising another Danish fund in 2016-17. And then I was invited in to become a part of Maersk Growth in early 2018. The reason for me joining Maersk as a CVC was that I saw the possibility to leverage everything that I had learned and built for Hardcore Capital into the corporate world. And this interest to see how you can really scale startups with those two things aligned. So that is super interesting. Now being part of Maersk Growth, the CVC, having done 24 investments now since we started investing in mid 2018.
Well, yeah, very interesting journey indeed. And I think if many people hear Maersk, they think shipping. But you also said it already. We talk startup, we talk investment, we talk scaling. So what was it that attracted you to Maersk, and how do you see that at Maersk growing at the moment?
Yeah, I think, you know, we leverage everything around Maersk, right? So the assets we have, the brand, the customers, the data, the expertise that are within Maersk in these early stage companies that we invest in. So the growth part is a little bit of a defocus area, because we actually invest in seed and Series A, and we invest in everything supply chain, tying it into the Maersk integrator vision, right? We want to become an integrated part of the supply chain. We want to assist our customers in solving their problems. And that is also why you see us investing in German companies like Forto, like Fleet, but also even tying the supply chain even closer and doing trade finance investments such as Modify with Nelson Holzner and team, right? So it is everything around the supply chain that we are interested in. It's even all the way to digitization of documents. That is a core problem for Maersk large customers, right?
Maybe it was also one of the parts on Maersk trying to digitalize themselves, innovate themselves. So maybe before we get started, give us a bit more perspective on how the team is structured. Maersk Growth, I saw there's quite a lot of people working, your partner there. There's also a support team I saw on the website. Yeah. How is the team structured?
Yeah, so that is the cool part, right? I think there's a lot of CVCs that have set sail to see what they can do. And I must say, the way we have structured Maersk Growth with a core team that is investing, we are eight people on the investment side. And then we have what we call value creation on the side. Value creation is the tie-in between our portfolio companies and the Maersk core. They understand what is going on with the strategy in the core business and can do the matchmaking. Because when a Mickey Bax from the MD of a Fortu reaches out to me with a specific question around the Maersk Spot product, which is basically guaranteeing a space on a ship, then you know I cannot answer all the details of that, and that is where I can ask my value creation team to assist Mickey on that one. So I think that is super interesting, right? I can focus on what I'm good at, the startup ecosystem, and then I have a designated team that comes mostly from Maersk, with a lot of experience from Maersk, and can do this matchmaking.
Yeah, and I think people thinking of Maersk probably don't know how wide you cast your net, basically, right? You just said it yourself. It's not just the core shipping, but it's all the facilitation around that. So probably a lot of people are very keen to also understand how this works together, right? Are you just investing in businesses that support the core business? How does the collaboration between businesses that you invest in and the mothership, so to say, how does that work?
Yeah, it works in many ways, right? I think we are looking for strategic investments with a huge potential financial upside. That is what we do. And ultimately solving for our customers' need. I think when we look at what we can do, we have done a lot of road freight forwarding, right? I think we have a lot of trucks moving around, most of them with containers on top. But we also do what is called full truckloads. We also own 42 ports around the world and have JVs with another 30. So that way we have a global footprint. We also own a lot of warehouses, especially performance team in North America that has more than 10 warehouses, where we also do a lot of trucking in relationship to that. We own companies that does cross-border trading and all the paperwork around it. So we have many areas and fields where we can assist. And that is why it is so interesting to be part of Maersk growth and seeing what the startup scene has to offer.
And considering that Maersk is so global, does that also mean that your investment have a very global reach, or do you have a regional focus? I think your team is based in Denmark, right?
Yeah. So we sit 15 people in Copenhagen. Maersk is a global company, and we have employees all over the world. We are actively investing in Europe and North America, but we will look at companies from all over the world. We have done two investments in Australia, one of them done with Flash Ventures and GFC, because I do invest with trusted parties when it's outside of core geography. But we do have people on ground in Copenhagen, but we travel Europe and North America.
Very cool, very cool. So I had a look at your website. I think there's already like 20 investments that you listed, but you just mentioned 24. Maybe for our listeners, give us a bit of an insight on what are the business you typically invest in? Who are they? And maybe, I don't know, do you have favorites?
I do have favorites. Personally, I like the Germans, so I have a flavor for that. No, I think what I look for, right, I look for the founders. 60% of the success for a startup is basically the founders. There is a business plan set up early stage of where a startup wants to go. We all know that startups, they pivot. I'm also very focused on not directing startups for something that is just specifically a Maersk problem. So I would say, you know, where I get the most strategic benefit, and what we have also looked at is what I mentioned before, road freight forwarding, right? We have done due diligence on Sender. We have done due diligence on InstaFreight. We have invested in Fleet, the end-to-end food logistics company, and I think it that interests me deeply. I have a burning desire for trucking. I think the sustainability part of the decarbonization thing, right? If we basically could have no empty moves in Europe from a full truckload perspective, we would reduce carbon emission by 10% in Europe. And that is a problem. I have also joined Leaders for Action, for Climate Action, and have been part of setting that up in Denmark. It is an immense problem, and just even looking down to the blue collared people, right, the ones that have to drive the trucks, they have a not such a good life. And if we can help them driving a truck from 8 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon, being able to get home to their families with a digital solution, then that's the way to go, right? So I have a flavor for solving blue the work of blue-collared people, and then their sustainability in everything we do. And from a personal level, it's a needed thing when I invest.
Cool, yeah, no, I can totally relate to that, although I can only encourage you to look further to Asia. As you know, I spend a lot of time there. I think there's a lot of innovative solutions, specifically in Southeast Asia as well. Have you spent some time there? Is that a focus area for you guys to grow your portfolio?
We have seen a couple of startups from Singapore, especially around, you know, the port of Singapore, and we see investments once in a while. We had foot on ground in China for 3 weeks. We used to have an operating partner called Betty Liu. And what we learned from that is that we needed a significant amount of capital and significant speed to be able to participate in these deals. And it didn't match with the culture that we had at Maersk Growth at that point of time. So we were also in our initial and starting phase, setting up all the structures and processes and so forth. But that is the key learning. But we will always co-invest. So, you know, good investors that comes with something from Asia, we will look at and do the due diligence needed to decide whether it's something that we should invest in.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, yeah, I can very much relate to it. You know, starting in Singapore versus China already makes a difference to your valuation. And we probably see the same in Germany versus US, but you said you also invest in the US. How do you feel about, you know, what some people call the valuation gap between these continents?
Yeah, there's so much capital available in the world today. I think venture capital has a history in North America. The funds are larger. Hence, the way they deploy money, it needs to be in larger rounds, and valuations are increasing over time. There is an increased valuation gap, but there's also a large market in the US. And when especially looking into exits, a lot of the buyers are in North America when you do a digital startup. I'm a promoter of helping the European startup scene and also help Europe to keep its keep the companies created in Europe. I think that's a nice part, because the whole world will benefit of having talent all over the world. That's also why we are discussing Africa. We are discussing, should we set up a shop in Africa to help them get started. So I think we have a very global approach. We have a lot of freight from Africa, and hence the focus on there also, where we have not done an investment yet, but would like to. We have done investments in New York and Silicon Valley, right? So we know a lot of co-investors there and are fairly comfortable. So when we see something interesting, we also tend to invest if it's reasonable.
So for anyone listening, if they're considering opening up their own startup, what would be your recommendation location-wise? Where should they go? Where should they go and set up for you guys to be attractive for you specifically?
I think they should set up in a place where they have access to talent. I remember coming to Berlin in 2008 and thinking, you know, what am I doing in Berlin, right? There's no real talent here. It was a different scene at that point of time. But Berlin has definitely proven me wrong. So as long as you make sure that you have access to the talent, and with COVID here, right, who knows how the future is going to look like. So I think there's a lot to be done around just building your culture in a work from home situation. So I think I'm learning a lot in these months and looking forward to see how startups are going to work in the future. But, you know, make sure you have access to talent, most important, and you know, keep building your own private network. That's the best recommendation I can give.
I can very much relate to that too. Thanks for sharing. Maybe looking back at the investments that you made, I think one thing that you mentioned, of course, the founders matter. What else matters for Maersk to invest? What's the deal size, the valuation? What's the other check boxes that you guys have before you feel comfortable investing? Yeah.
So we invest tickets up to $5 million. We start all the way down at $500,000, and we do invest out of the balance sheet and on an annual budget. We're just reviewing those numbers now because what we talked about before, right? The valuation gap, round sizes are increasing, valuations are increasing. So the model we're working out of needs to be changed. But I think, you know, we would like to be able to do a couple of investments within our own mandate since we have our own investment committee. So the core is not interfering with our decisions. But when we go above the $5 million mark, like we did in Forto and like we did in LoadSmart, it is with a direct link to our company CEO that will decide up to $50 million tickets. So I think there's a good flavor of what we can do. I like to get in early, but with some kind of proof. So seed Series A is key. It is challenging when we do Series A investments in the US because they tend to look like a European B. So you know it's easier for us in Europe at the moment because there we can basically match what other venture capitalists are doing.
And when you invest, then probably also giving the ticket sizes that you just mentioned, follow on is relatively secure, or at least that's one would imagine if Maersk is on board, right?
Yeah, we will follow our winners and follow our strategic winners. We work with a simple portfolio model, just like any other VC, right? So we will sort the portfolio in kind of, you know, what is on target, what is above target, and where can we assist and where can we help? Also, so we basically, you know, assist where it's meaningful. That is what you get with a Maersk, right? And I think everything starts up being a star. We only invest in stars, otherwise there's no need to invest.
Yeah, understandable. And I remember meeting you at an event, which was great. So we all know that events are rare to come by or not entirely safe these days. Where do you go hunting for new deals, or how do they find you? What's the best way for founders to approach you, maybe?
So basically looking all the way back to 2007, I have only seen two companies that have been inbound with no network to the partners that I have worked for previously or today, right? So normally it's through people you meet or know, and always with a reference. I think we met at, I think it was a smaller conference in Germany. Yeah. But where we do go is Noah, we go to Slush, we go to a lot of the conferences in the US, we also go to the nice event in Munich around Oktoberfest, right? Mm-hmm. So I think we are out there, but it is through dialogue with venture capitalists and through dialogue with founders. I think everybody in the VC industry, they know, right? When we speak to somebody, you know, then you should ask the question, you know, who should I meet that I do not know?
Of course.
And likewise for a founder, right? When you speak to people, who is it that I should meet that I don't know? And that is the curiousness that we all should have in this industry.
So warm introduction it is. And I think most of the people out there thinking to start their business get connected to the founders, because I think what was probably also fair to say, it's a two-way dating way, no? Where you get to know the businesses, but of course it's also important for them to hear a little bit about you on how you deal with maybe also challenges that come up in the businesses. And I think quite lately, it's been probably a challenging time for all of us, not just because we all have to work from home and we don't get to meet interesting new candidates, potential hires, but also new investors at events. we have to do it from home. So maybe you can share a little bit with us, how did COVID impact the investments that you made? What happened to your portfolio, and maybe also how could MERS come and help support? What were the developments of the last month?
So I think everybody was shocked in March when COVID started rolling through Europe. It was challenging times. We're looking at the capital available. Everything was on hold. And then in May, we started seeing most of our portfolio take off because it is digital investments within transportation and logistics, many of them. So they really, really started to grow a lot. We had a couple that were dependent on normal trade, and they basically stalled and are struggling. Within those companies, we have offered our financial support. We have had companies like Forto, Loadsmart, also Road Freight Forter in New York, raising significant rounds and significant valuation uplifts at the end of the year. And it's just a super, super strong portfolio at the moment. We are reporting as a normal VC to the Maersk executive leadership team. So we are following the Invest in Europe reporting guidelines, and the valuation increases are higher than that I've seen in my past work, right? So, you know, the only thing that is maybe a risk of 2021 is that when we look at the startups that should have been created in the midst of 2020, creating seed rounds that should be out racing now in the next couple of quarters, right? I'm looking into a period where that might be a little bit dry for us, and let's see what happens, right? And that is, in my opinion, will trigger, you know, even higher rounds and even higher valuations and then the companies raising. But COVID definitely did something to us, and we have not seen the last effects of that yet.
And probably maybe there was also a push for digitalization at MERS. Did that increase the amount of collaboration between your startups and the core business? Did you see any shift there?
Yeah, I think I've seen a little bit, you know, more willingness to try out, you know, different new solutions. It was also a very, very scary scene that Maersk looked at in March, right? Because, you know, all trade basically stopped. We looked at pictures in the ports in China, right, where containers were stacked up, even trucks were stacked up, and we didn't know what to expect. And then going out of a 2020 with very, very strong performance from Maersk, right? Because basically the quotes increased and increased and increased and didn't stop. And even today, Maersk is basically moving our vessels with up to maximum capacity, not seen for a very, very long time.
And did it increase adoption maybe of like innovative services? I mean, all of our startups are usually super keen to get corporate partners to sign a deal, to kind of get over the difficulties of procurement and so on. Do you feel MERS is maybe also readier to try out new things, maybe only with your portfolio companies or also outside of your portfolio?
So within our own portfolio, we have done two white labeling solutions. Basically, it's different digital solutions, one in your own space, and then one in road freight forwarding. But we also see pilots with non-Maersk growth portfolio companies. It's basically part of my work. So when I'm out speaking to startups and evaluating them, it might not be a clear investment case, but might be something that Maersk should partner with. And that is where we again play into this value creation team. We basically let these companies over to the value creation team and make sure that introductions are made for these companies. I think when we look at Maersk and what we really want, we have so much trade going on our own homepage, maersk.com. And we want to integrate more and more companies in there with different SaaS solutions. So, you know, a Modify could be a path to the next thing to be seen on Maersk.com, for example. So, we pilot, we partner, we do a lot of stuff.
Cool. And for any startup out there that would love to collaborate with Maersk but hasn't made it into your portfolio yet or is not raising, what do you think is the best way to engage, to get into it, to sign up Maersk as a client or partner?
I think it's always good to come in with a reference, right? We also spoke a little bit about network before. So if you come in with a reference, it's a lot easier, right? I think it also depends on what you do. We have been very active in the procurement space lately. And we have a very, very digital procurement department in Maersk. And they tend to love to do, you know, interactions with startups to learn more, to make sure that Maersk procurement is of high standard. Mm-hmm. So it's also a little bit dependent on where you do. I think we interact as much as we can with e-com startups. Very, very interesting to see, again, the problems that the Maersk customers have. Can we solve them with your own company, right? Parcel Perform, that is just super interesting, right? So always, you know, always we would love, and you can, for example, reach out to me and I'll be happy to help.
Cool. Yeah, and from personal experience, I also know it usually helps to warm up one of the Maersk customers as your client, and then that's an easier way into it. Yeah?
definitely easier.
We spoke about founders that you support and, of course, the right business model. Of course, I have one very obvious question. Me giving being a female in the logtech industry, and I'm still considered rare, according to most of the people I'm speaking with. How do you see diversity in logistics, within Maersk? I spoke to one of your colleagues and there was a great article, but also maybe within your portfolio investments.
I think, you know, we have tried to create more information and communication around women in logistics. Mm-hmm. It's probably not as sexy as space. Yet, when we look at some of our food sustainability investments that we did early on in 2018, there are definitely a lot more female founders in there. But diversity is something that needs to be in there. We are just improving our legal documents now. We want reporting on sustainability. We want reporting on diversity. It is something that I look for because I do believe that the better teams, they take diversity into consideration also at a C level. It is when you go back and look at the financial crisis back in 2007 and 8, the better performing teams coming out strong from that had women in their C level. So I think it's a fact. It's something that we need. It needs to be there. We're looking for it. And if you are a female founder within logistics, then you need to call me. You have high priority.
Very good, very good. Please also call me. I can help with an introduction. I'd love to see more of us in the industry. You also said logistics sometimes doesn't seem so sexy. Yeah, I tend to differ. I found a way to make parcel tracking very exciting to me and a majorly female team within Parcel Perform. But what do you think, what else can we do to make the industry sexy? I mean, you're basically at the starting point for growth, for innovation. How do you feel? How can we attract more talent in general into the industry?
I think if we just speak to the venture or to the startup ecosystem as such, I think it's something that we need to speak to our daughters about. So I'm the happy father of three daughters, and they definitely get introduced to the startup scene through me. I think it's speaking also to the risk you take. It seems to be in the old days something that was only for white men, and that is totally wrong. I think when you look at it, there's also everything around the networking piece where I think women and men are mingling more, but not a lot. So it is basically, you know, helping out the female founders when they're there, giving them the same chance as men, right? And it should be there, right? And I think in these Me Too times, and especially what's going on in Denmark, right, I think we are on a good track to get more diversity, making it more equal for everybody. And that is also why the reporting is needed in there as a first step. And I do also think that we see you know, limited partners really having a focus on this. So we just need to keep on speaking about it.
Do you actually have a female partner at Mass Growth?
Our managing partner, Shireen, is female, 25 years of sales experience in Maersk, right? She's from Egypt. Really, really happy to have her onboarded here in December as the new lead of Maersk Growth. So super excited about that. We have two female analysts also, and still hiring. I think there's 6 to 8 females on our teams, right? So it's I think it's a good diversity in Maersk Growth.
Yeah, that's a great trajectory. Yeah, whatever we can do to support that, I'm on board. Maybe looking ahead a little bit, did you see now in times of COVID, we saw a lot of businesses changing business models, you know, scaling, pivoting. What are the trends that you see for the next year? What are the hot parts of the industry, of course, within logistics and the supporting system? But what's the cool and upcoming stuff that you are excited about that you feel people should invest in and keep an eye out for?
I think we had a good discussion. I had a discussion with my colleague Oliver Finch here over the last couple of weeks. So a lot of venture capital money has gone into logistics, and it feels like we have shaken the tree, right? And all the ripe fruits have fallen out. And we're kind of, you know, what is the next coming up? I think it's clear that logistics has not been digitized fully. I am looking for interesting startups that will tell me when decisions are being made. So is it the procurement department that is in control of the actual full truckload move? Is it the return logistics company that will create the next sell to the customer because they disrupt the way that return logistics has been done in the past? So I'm looking for these interesting startups that have a new way of attacking existing problems. I think I looked at TradeLink in Munich and Byways in Berlin that are creating the control tower for warehousing.
Right.
And it basically disrupting how warehousing is done in the old-fashioned way. So if we can get digitization into solving manual problems, I think that is where I'm looking. And I'm looking deeper and deeper, and it's becoming more and more techy. So that is where we're going. But I'm not sure where it will come, but I know it will come.
So more the asset-light models is, of course, also easier on your investment, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think we did an investment in a micro fulfillment company in the UK called Hubu, and it's combining assets with digitization because also just looking at Maersk, right, we have 750 vessels around the world. You can't really do ocean logistics without owning the vessels. It's difficult to do parts of warehousing if you don't own the warehouse. So for me, I'm seeing the return of a little bit more asset-heavy investments. I would not say that I would push for them, but I see them out there and I'm not afraid of them. I'm not a classical VC going for a SaaS product with 80% margin. I do invest in the Fortos of the world with low double digit margins, right? And I'm not afraid of that risk. I'm not.
Good. That's encouraging news for everyone out there, because logistics in general always has the downside of an issue with your margins unless you go very tech heavy, like you said, right?
Yeah, and the good part, and when you look at logistics, is that the market size is so much bigger, right? And that is just you're creating, a huge potential. And as I'm saying to a lot of people, I'm not putting percentages in the bank. I put euros in the bank.
Yeah, you rather have a small margin, but a lot of that, yeah.
Yeah. Totally agree.
We talked about investments, and I think one of the few buzzwords that are usually mentioned in that range, at least cover automation, cryptocurrency, blockchain. How do you feel about these? Is that the cool next stuff? Is the logistics industry ready for it?
Yeah. So Maersk Growth created or was part of creating TradeLens, which is our blockchain investment in Maersk. It was a collaboration with IBM to start with. And I see a lot of interesting pieces around securing where our goods coming from and where they're going to. So super eager about that. The only challenge is that I see it work within a limited frame. And I think, you know, my dream of the technology is that is the disruption for the internet. So I think I have huge dreams for the future and what technology can bring. Automation in general, yes, it is needed. Robots are needed to do specific work. We have also looked at that, and I think self-driving trucks for me is something that is needed. You know, there's a lack of 50,000 truck drivers in Germany alone, right? So we need, whether it's platooning or fully automated trucks, I don't know. But it is needed, and you asked me about the buzzword before, right? That might be electrification of the world. We will see this decarbonization happening, and electricity seems to be a possible way forward.
Okay, so for everyone listening, when you have a startup in that area, it's time to get a warm introduction to Jeppe and surely then get his attention and drive. Yeah, what hopefully is the future of technology and logistics. I think having a partner like Maersk Growth by your side certainly is extremely helpful. With that, I want to end today's podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, Jeppe. Thanks for being so open. And yeah, we look forward to many more of your investments and your support of the startup infrastructure and the scene. Thank you so much, Jeppe.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. That was the Logistics Tribe podcast episode with Jeppe Hoyer from Maersk Growth. I hope you liked today's show. Please consider giving us a positive review on iTunes, and please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any of the future episodes. We have an impressive roster of guests and topics coming up, I promise. I'm Boris Felgendreher. Until next time.